This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mic check. 1, 2. 1, 2. Hi, friends. Nice to see you. Good to be back. Welcome to the Friday edition of the podcast. My name's Dean. Nice to see ya. Nice to be here. Good to be back. Lachlan Cross joins me from the lively city of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. The Oilers are up 2-0 now. Did you guys know? No, it's 1-1. Yeah. The Oilers and the Kings, right?
They lost in overtime. They played well. The Kings kind of responded. And that one Skinner might have been a goaltending issue. You know, there was a couple of goals that it didn't matter. Like it wasn't, they were going in regardless. Yeah. But there was one or two there where it was like, Skinner.
Can't have playoffs. One or two in a game like that either, right? Playoff game. Can't have one or two that you'd like back. Yeah. Can't.
You gotta respect Toronto's, you know, chutzpah too, right?
I don't know, dude. You know what's funny is this is like, we were talking about it off the air before we started, how big sports is right now in terms of content. Everybody wants to, you know, kind of be taken away from life and stuff like that. And I've got a friend like that. I got a friend who's like, I don't like watching the news. I'm really into sports. And I'm like, oh, you're watching the Leaf game tonight. He goes, I can't watch that. I'm like, what do you mean? I thought you were really into sports now. And he's like, yeah, I just can't watch the Leafs. He's like, it's too much for me. Like, you know, the failure's too much. The decades of it have been too much. And he goes, I find myself watching games from like the kitchen, from around the corner, like doing one of these, like where you're like,
where it's on.
And you're like, I don't want to watch the whole thing. And you lean back because you can't handle the stress. And I'm like, I think we got a stress problem here because it's not that why I'm not watching it. Like I watched the entire Leaf game the other night where they lost 4-2, empty net goal. And I'm like, that was a really good hockey game. I really enjoyed watching it. Back and forth. You had some controversy. You had some rough stuff with Bertuzzi and Marchand, right? It was like, oh, it's a really good hockey game. It come from behind win. And I'm like, I'm glad I watched it. Phone my friend. I'm like, you watch the game? He goes, of course not. I told you, I can't handle that shit. And I'm like, you fucking kidding. You missed a great hockey game, dude. It was awesome.
Yeah. I kind of live in that space with hockey, kind of like you do, right? Where, you know what? Listen, if they lose, I can shake it off. I'll be able to go to sleep, right? I think we do get too carried away with our teams sometimes. And you see every franchise has, it's not just Leaf fans. Like although I am worried someone do a wellness check on Curtis, that guy in Medicine Hat. I saw a post of his the other day before the game where he was just like for 14 seconds screaming. He had a Coors Light in his hand and he was just screaming and he was beat red. That team is going to end that man's life.
Or type 2. One of the two things.
He's entertaining, though.
He is so awesome. I love the passion, Curtis, right? And I love the passion of everybody who loves these games, but people take them so fucking seriously.
Too seriously. I do find if you've got a buddy that is wildly into sports...
Yeah.
I call them sports donkeys. If you look it up in the Urban Dictionary, actually it's credited. The term is credited to me in the Urban Dictionary. Sports donkey. My name's on it.
Feel good about yourself. Feel good about yourself being mean to people who really love sports.
It wasn't about that, but
really nasty.
I wanted to put a through line between being wildly connected to sports, not being able to do anything else in your life other than cheer for your team.
Correct.
And there's a through line to compulsive gamblers too. Most people that I know that are that into sports have gambling problems.
Oh, totally. Well, they got to make it interesting somehow, right? And I find that interesting. Maybe you get away from like the stress of life where you're like, I can't watch the news. Don't like Trump. By the way, the Trump stuff's absolutely fucking hilarious today. I can't read about Trump. I can't look at anything about PP or JT or David Pecker. I can't look at MAGA, Maple MAGA, far right, far left. I can't look. And I'm like, I love looking at those things. It's so fun. No, I can't. And you say to them, well, what's your release? What do you watch? Only sports. It was my friend the other day. And I'm like, really? You're watching the Leaf game tonight? Fuck no. And I'm like, okay, so do you go for a walk? No, I can't. I'm too jacked up after work. And I'm like, okay, so like, what do you do? And he's like, well, I read. I go, what do you read? He goes, the news. But then that pisses me off, so I can't.
Can't watch it, but I read it?
Yeah, it's like there's everybody's
going on
trying
there with
to,
your buddy.
Oh yeah, there's a lot going on. He's trying to stay away from anything that like gets him angry or gets him crazy. And the things that he says are his outlets aren't his outlets, right? Which is just bizarre to me. So anyway, last night, two nights ago, I'm at home, and I'm like, I better order some food. So I ordered Chinese food. Haven't had Chinese food in a long time. Yeah, good boys, you're feeling Chinese? Get some Chinese food, some Kung Pao, a little crispy beef.
I like right? Chinese food.
I love Chinese food. I haven't had it in like, it's got to be a year. In China, they just call it food. And I'm from Markham, which is 70% Asian. So I just had food the other day, but it's Chinese food to me because I'm not Chinese. Just wanted to go over that real quick. So anyway, I go to pick it up. Talk about a dilemma. It's $110 for five dishes. I'm like, it's a little pricey. That's okay. It's really good Chinese food.
That's high.
A little pricey. Yeah.
There was any alcohol in there?
None. No.
The only way I'm paying $110 if there's a case of beer attached to that food.
Comes with a 2-6 of Jack. So
that there better be a bottle of booze tied to the bag.
Or like a brick of gold.
Bucks.
Yeah, $120. So that's what it ended up.
Did it rake your yard too when you got home? Jesus, Dean.
So I go to pay. I'm like, all right, whatever. It's $120. I go to pay.
You know when you get the machine, they hand you the machine and they put the price in, they turn around and they hand it to you. And then they turn around because they're like, I want to let this gentleman tip me in peace. Keep in mind, I'm picking up. No one's done any work. People just got paid to cook my shit.
And it's $110.
Closer to 120, but yes, let's call it 115 for fun with tax. Five dishes, $115. So I look at the screen. It's like, would you like to tip 20%, 25%, or 30%?
Those are the options.
Those were the only options. And then there's a little button at the bottom that said other amount ? Keep in mind, I'm picking up. No one has brought me a glass of water. The person just came out, plopped a couple of bags in front of me, handed me the thing, and the options for tipping were 20, 25, and 30%. You have no idea how angry I was. Like, I got unreasonably angry. And I said to the person, are you fucking serious?
You need to start smoking again. You know, like what? The world needs Dean to vape.
Are you fucking serious? I said. She goes, excuse me? I said, are you serious with this tip amount? Like you handed me overpriced Chinese food. You handed it to me. Didn't say a word. And you want me to tip you possibly, get this, $40 on top of that? On $115, you want me to pay you almost like half? Just as a bonus. And she goes, it's up to you. And I'm like, yeah, zero. The answer is zero. I'll just pay for my shit and I'll never come back here again. So then I get home and I tell the story to my kids, boys, men. Guys like, you should go to fucking Subway. My oldest guy, you should go to Subway. Their tips start at 20% too on takeout. When the fuck did that happen?
Was it after the pandemic? I haven't seen this yet.
That's unbelievable. And I'm not a chip. I'm not a cheap dick. I am not. I'm a big tipper. I love tipping when tipping.
Big tipper. 15, 20. No big deal. How great was the service? Service was awesome. Here's 25. Thank you very much. I have tipped 100% on a bill before. No big deal. Granted, it wasn't $5,000 bill, but you know what I mean? Like, I've tipped heavy before. I'm a heavy tipper, big spender. If you run a business and you're asking people to give you 30% on top of what you already overcharged them for to go in and actually pick up the project or product that you're selling them, you're just an asshole. You're just an opportunist asshole. I am never, and nobody should ever tip on pickup. Ever, ever, ever. And if you're one of those dicks that's tipping 30%, giving these people a reason to do that, shame on you. You're making us look terrible.
Okay, I got a couple of things. First off,
I think you
have a reason to be angry for the selections, okay? The 20, the 25, and the 30, I think, are that's crazy to me. It should be 10, 15, and 18, especially at a place where I'm guessing between 25 and 50% of their business is probably pickup. Like, no one's going in to sit and eat in that Chinese restaurant, right?
There were four tables. Two of them had chairs on top of the table. No one's in there enjoying a meal.
It might even be more than
a shithole Chinese food restaurant that's designed just for pickup.
Yeah, so I agree with you on the 20, 25, 30%. But I don't agree with you on not tipping on pickup.
Seriously? Because
I think that the tip does go a long way to supporting the staff of that place that probably don't get paid well. What I hate hearing is I hate hearing is if the owners of the business take a percentage of the tips, that bothers me, and that does happen.
Not only do they take a percentage of the tip, the reason why they're asking you to tip their employees when you go and physically do all the work of getting your own fucking food, it's because they don't pay those people enough. So you're actually making irresponsible ownership of an Arby's cool. You're actually paying their salaries. We need to start a fucking thing across this country. No tip on pickup. Hashtag full commercials. And as part of the no tip on pickup, we tell people that do that to their employees, you got to pay these people. That's unfair. But no tip on pickup, that should be the number one hashtagging trend across this country, if my experience was shared by anybody else. And I've chatted with a few people since then. There are a lot of places that are doing this on pickup where it doesn't, to your point, doesn't start at 20, right? Starts at 10, goes to 18, then goes to 20. Maybe starts at 15, goes to 18, goes to 20.
But I'm not seeing the 20, 25, 30.
Oh, what's the purpose of
Alberta yet? But it might be an Ontario thing, Dean, but I could be wrong. If you're listening to this or watching this on Twitter or social media, put that in the comment section if you're seeing that in Alberta, because I am not. This is just it. I think that this is just an Ontario thing and Ontario centric.
So let me ask you a question. What do you tip? What's your tip? Do you really tip on pickup?
If I do pick up, I tip 10%. So if we do like Chopped, we'll get salads every once in a while. I will go grab, and I don't get delivery. We never get delivery. I pick up
10%?
All the time.
You tip 10% on pickup?
10%. We get delivery, like just common for Deb and I, is we get salad, we get pizza, and we get Italian. We haven't got a Chinese place that we really like. Just
do you tip on delivery? 10%? Tip on pickup 10%?
We don't get delivery.
So you don't get delivery at all?
We never get delivery.
You always go and pick up to avoid the delivery charge?
Yeah.
That's the other thing. That's the other thing. These people, they've got...
I'm trying not to support Skip the Dishes.
They fuck you over?
Skip the Dishes get you?
I think what ends up happening is I think a lot of businesses sign up for Skip the Dishes because they kind of have to.
They don't want to pay a delivery guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's wrong. I'm against it. We did it once years ago when I was in Winnipeg and we ordered food. We were moving my daughter. Doesn't matter. We were in Winnipeg and the whole family was there. So I was feeding like four or five of us and the bill was like over $200. I lost my mind.
Yeah.
And there was no liquor. Again, no liquor. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like I said, $110 of the Chinese food. Okay, somebody's so coming to do some chores at the house, or there better be a bag, like a something tied to the bag that can get me drunk.
So you know the whole thing with tipped is it meant it used to mean to ensure promptness. People got it wrong. So
well, that's ship sale.
Ensure. Yeah, you used to tip people before. Like that's the way that life used to work. You used to tip people before. So then for a long time, society was like, okay, we're going to wait till the end of this experience to see whether or not you should be reimbursed for doing an excellent job, right? That was the next premise behind tipping. No one's. There you go. Here's 10%. Here's 15%. Here's $5. Here's $10. Here's $20. Sometimes you get lucky with like $100. You're like, wow, what a great day to ensure. But then the restaurant industry is like, if we include gratuity, that means we don't have to pay these people as much and we can take some of that free money for ourselves.
That's
so capitalism really fucked people over. However, if a tip is to ensure promptness and meant to reward someone for excellent service, why the fuck are you tipping on pickup?
Because I think for me, I feel like the people that prepared my food deserve a tip just as much as somebody that brought it to the table from the kitchen. And so
already
that's,
getting paid
I've already that. Rationalized that.
All right. Well, you're nicer than me.
And again, I mean, I you're not alone, Dean. There's a lot of people that are anti tip when they pick up. And I give 10%, but I'm also the guy that I don't tip crazy amounts at the table either. Like I'll tip 15%. And then if it's really good, I might go like 18, but I'm not a 20% tipper.
Do you get the pocket calculator out? Is that what you do?
I do. Yeah. One time we were traveling. This is when the girls were younger. They were teenagers and we were on the road and we stopped and had a meal like lunch. And the waitress was a complete biatch. She was awful. It took forever and she was rude. And so I said to the girls, I said, I'm going to make a scene. The restaurant's packed. And so you better get to the car. So I walked up to pay and I said, by the way, I'm not tipping because that service was brutal. Like, I can't believe why are you doing this? And then like three waitresses ganged up on me and started yelling at me.
Well, you don't say anything, dude, when you don't tip for bad service.
What
you don't
are you talking
point
about?
It out.
You started yelling at the poor Chinese lady.
That's because I was on my way out, dude. It had nothing to, like, I'd already paid.
I was on my way out, too. I was just informing her that she was awful at her job and that she didn't deserve a tip. And then her waitress buddies ganged up on me.
Well,
I was
scared. Yeah, you should be. Dude, you never do that. If you want to chastise someone, it's on pickup. If you're going to wait to not tip somebody because the service sucked and the food wasn't great, and they look at you like, I can't believe you tipped me. This is the part of tip culture that drives me nuts. It is exclusively a Western thing. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You go to Europe, you try to tip anybody in Portugal, Lisbon, England, Ireland, they get offended. They're like, what the f-?
I like that. Let's bring that here.
They'll take the money, but they look at you like, no, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You're paying for your meal. We get paid a wage. It's our job to bring you this food. But in Canada and the United States, more so in Canada, we're the fucking worst at this.
We're the worst.
In Canada, if you don't tip, if you don't give somebody 30% for doing their job, 30% on top, like you're paying them and then paying them again. And if you don't pay them a fucking third time in the form of a tip, some people will chase you out of the restaurant. So that's happened to me where I have not tipped because the guy was a dick or the food sucked or it took too long. Like, dude, we went to this place the other day called Italy. It's just like really nice pizza joint. Guy comes over. He's like, what do you want? I want this. He's like, great. No problem. Gluten-free. No problem. Great. Be back in 20 minutes with your pizza. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes go by. Stop him on the way by. I'm like, any word on that pizza? Because he just went in the oven. I'm like, all right, give you a break. Thanks. Another 10 minutes go by. Guy comes back. He goes, ooh, I got to tell you.
Got to tell you something.
We gave your pizza to someone else by mistake like half hour ago. So we just popped another one in there.
Jesus.
And I go, so you like 20 minutes ago, you said it was in the oven. So that you said you gave it away a half hour ago. So you made the it's in the oven part up. And he's like, no, like incredulous. Like I was like, well, I don't understand what you're saying. He's like, no. And if you just wait, you'll get your pizza. I don't tip. In fact, I go, I don't want it. He goes, well, we're going to give it to you anyway, and we won't charge you for it. Like, he's doing me a fucking favor, making me wait an hour for a pizza I didn't really give a fuck about in the first place. And I'm like, was it whatever. How long is it going to be? He's like, 10 minutes max. Sure enough, 10 minutes, the guy comes over, gives me the bill. So I got to pay for these drinks, right? So I pay for the drinks, sign the card. $0 tip. $0. I waited an hour for something I never got. And the guy was a dick about it when I did get it. $0. He looks at the bill and looks at me and goes, excuse me? And I go, yeah, you're excused, bro. That's the worst. You think I'm going to pay you for that? I said, I just paid $40 for three drinks. That's enough. I'm good. Won't be coming back here again. And he's like, oh. And then I heard him chirping me with one of the fucking services I was leaving. And I'm like, what is this expectation you guys have? Yeah. Like, you can just do a shit job. And if I don't pay you for a shit job, I'm all of a sudden the asshole. And now that's transferred itself to pickup. I have some work to do with society in this country when it comes to tipping. And I'm really happy we've took the first 15 minutes to talk about it too.
You might want to spend really some happy. Of that time working on yourself too, because you seem to be getting into a lot of conflicts when you go out. Maybe it's the gluten-free diet.
Gluten-free, trying to stop vaping. It's just, I'm so angry right now. I'm just an angry person.
Hey,
so are we. Yeah, go ahead.
We didn't talk about Bob Cole. We should do that because we started off the podcast with hockey.
Yeah.
And how everybody needs to relax if they're watching their favorite Canadian team.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Cole, 90, passed away yesterday. It was Thursday, right?
Yeah, last night. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I appreciated all the tributes and everything. He was apparently a really good guy. I got two things on Bob Cole, and both of them I need you to, because it's just me suggesting it might be. So he used to do the play-by-play for years with Harry, right?
Yeah, Bob Cole, Harry Neal. Yeah.
Harry Neal. It was just me, or did Harry sound drunk some nights?
Oh, Harry was a well-known tippler of the cocktails. And Bob and Cole and Harry Neal. So
I appreciate you bringing this up, but let's put it in the proper perspective. The voice of my childhood.
Yes.
Two of them.
Of Hockey right? Night in Canada.
Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah, 50 years.
And you'd come downstairs because you and I both came from like basically poor homes. You got two television channels. You'd hear that music. You knew you were getting a hockey game.
You know, Saturday night, Leafs. Usually it's Leafs, Habs. You might get Oilers, Flames, whatever. Didn't matter. You're just so excited. And there were two voices in my head all the time when I thought about hockey. When you're a kid and you got two television channels, you grow up poor, you're like, oh, hockey, hockey, hockey. You'd play outside with a stick and a puck and a can and all that stuff. Bob Cole and Harry Neal.
Yep.
Bob Cole from the East Coast. Harry Neal from Buffalo, of all places. Canadian who lives in Buffalo. For 40 years, were the play-by-play and the color guys for Hockey Night in Canada. And they were synonymous with hockey in this country, right? Synonymous. Yeah.
Especially to the point where you and I, we're right. Like you and I, like there was a time when he was retiring. I was like, I don't remember ever hearing anybody else on Saturday night call games. Right?
I remember when it wasn't him on the odd occasion, Bob or Harry weren't there. Yeah. Being like, I can't listen to this shit.
Yeah.
I can't. This is a weird, strange voice because they were always
Chris
there.
Chris Cuthbert guy.
Yeah. And now Chris Cuthbert. Chris Cuthbert is that guy.
He's awesome.
Where it's like, oh, I got Chris Cuthbert calling a game.
He's solid.
But you would sit and listen to those guys and it was ear comfort. Invariably by the third period, you might hear Harry Neal go, that was an interesting goal.
When I got old enough to realize,
Bob too started mixing up some names by the end of a couple of broadcasts. They're like, Lenny McDonerson.
You can hear someone stirring their drink with their finger.
That was the time back then, right? You could have a couple cocktails in the booth, no big deal. That was when they wore blazers. Remember the baby blue blazers?
Sally, brush it up here.
Yeah, yeah. Sally, powder, let's go. Scotch, Sally, powder, let's go. Smokes. Where you could smoke in there. But Bob Cole passed away. I think he was 81, 82. Is that
how old he was? Harry, you mean Harry?
No, Bob Cole just passed.
He was 90.
He was 90? Sorry. Harry. I think Harry's got to be pretty much the same, or he was the same.
Yeah, but I think we've lost Harry, though, didn't we?
Yes, we have.
We lost him a couple years ago.
Man. Yeah, we have. And there you go. This is Don Cherry. Now everybody's shitting all over Don Cherry today. He's one of those old school guards, too. These guys were the middle-aged rock stars of hockey in Canada. Don Cherry says, I'm sad to hear my good buddy Bob Cole's passing. Nobody could call a game like God. Like Bob, Godspeed, Bob, oh, baby. Remember that old baby? That's baby. What he used to say all the time.
Don's got to be right around the same age.
He's closing in on 90. Yeah, 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 yeah. Just the turning of the page, man. It's sad.
Yeah.
But I loved Bob Cole. Remember they brought him back a couple of years ago for a couple of stints?
Ooh, I loved it.
And he was like, he had a hard time with names, had a hard time following the play, but none of it mattered because it was Bob fucking Cole.
It was Bob Cole. Yeah. You know what? I also, this, and we can move on from here, but for me, the thing that I loved about Bob Cole was that deep down inside, and he didn't make it obvious, you had to really listen. And there was only moments. There was just brief moments. It was obvious to me that he hated the Montreal Canadiens. And so I had that bond with Bob. I know you're trying to be professional, Bob, but I know deep down inside you hate them, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When Montreal would score, even if he was in the forum, Montreal would score. And you know how normally a Canadian team would score and the guy calling the game would go, Eddie Schultz, he scores. Bob was like, Montreal with a goal.
So I'm not wrong. Just a little subtle. It was just a tinge. You could just tell you had to pay attention.
Yeah, and it's like it was like Jim Houston every time he'd call a game with the Leafs in it, right?
Because he hated the Leafs out of town
so much.
What's Jim doing now?
Oh, who knows, dude? And I watched Paul Romanek, remember Paul Romanek? He used to call games all the time. Now he's got major PTSD, and he just does like Beatles podcasts now.
Does he?
Like,
okay.
He's like, I remember when I used to do stats for those guys, and you're like, oh, you got put through the ringer. Those gentlemen went in to that hockey broadcast industry as the men and came out as the men, while you've seen the Craig Simpsons and the Romanaks and all the other people kind of get cycled through, right? Different teams that you've had. Nobody's ever going to compare to these guys. Nobody's going to do 40, 50 years like that and be the voice of those things. Cuthbert, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But like, Chris, I wouldn't even say not Don Cherry, Ron McClain. Ron McClain would be that comparative. He'd be the young guy on the block. And if Ron McClain wasn't on my TV tomorrow, I'd be okay with it too. Like, it's just,
I don't know about
these
that.
Two guys are irreplaceable.
I still like Ron. You know what I love right now? Although, I don't know what it is. I can't stand Kelly Rudy. Every time he speaks, I'm just like, shut up. I don't know why. I just have never connected. But I love Kevin Bieksa.
Bieksa is awesome.
He's saving the Hockey Night in Canada panel right now. He is. Him and you know what? I like bad suit guy. What's his name? Chunkier fellow. CBC, been there for a long time. Damn it. Dean sits across from Bieksa. They're always chirping each other.
CBC guy? Cosentino? No?
No. He's on the panel. He's on the Hockey Night in Canada panel. Does 21.
Chunky Rudy?
No.
Talking about Friedge, Elliot Friedman.
Yeah. Elliot Friedman. I'm coming around on Elliot Friedman.
He's good dude. Elliot. Yeah. Good human. Yeah.
Yeah. I like him. And you know what? You know why I'm coming around on Elliot Friedman? Because I was never a fan. It's because of Kevin Bieksa. Because they chirp each other on the panel. It's funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're doing a really good job. We got some local guys here in Alberta that I think they're not going to become 40-year guys, but man, Jack Michaels, he doesn't do the playoffs, but he does the regular season. He does everything outside of the regular, like the national games. He does all the local stuff. Jack is awesome. He makes the game fun. Him and Louie are a great team. Louis DeBrusque. And there's another, there's a kid I used to work with him too at TSN before they pulled the plug on TSN. And now he's got his own podcast. He does a sports thing. Him and the TSN gang started their own thing they do daily. But Dustin Nielsen, Dusty's got a great call. He does the Spengler Cup every year. He does a lot of the football games, but that's a hard business, man. It's a tough one to get into. It's a tough one to get a foothold in. And guys, when they do get those jobs, man, they hang on to them forever. And the guys that, if you get a national job, you get that you were in the minors forever. Like Jack was calling games in Alaska. Like he just had a bash. Yes.
Missouri. Yeah. He went everywhere. And that's the thing. That's how you know those guys get really good at their gigs, right? They'll go anywhere to do them.
Yeah.
Just to hone their craft because they just want a shot. That. And then you get a shot and you get into it. Like, just as much as we love doing this job, as much as we've had experience at the top of the heap at radio stations in certain markets, et cetera, for a broadcast guy, like the promised land is a nationally televised game, yeah. Right? And you had no idea how to get into it back in the day. And there was only one of them, right? Bob Cole, Harry Neal.
Yeah.
And so they were like, if you think our guys are important to us now, right? All those local guys, because you got a bunch of different teams. But back then there was one voice. There was one station that carried all of it. It was CBC. Nobody else had the games. So the entire country only had two guys that called all these hockey games. And back then they didn't televise the Bruins games in Canada unless they were playing a Canadian team, right? They didn't televise the Rangers games unless they were playing, you know, the Leafs. And so Bob and Harry were literally on every one of your TVs all the way through the week. The big night was Saturday night. That's when everybody got their popcorn and everybody watched. And they were not just icons. That's why we love them as much. Like, do they like sports guys and you know, guys that call games? Chris Cuthbert, again, he'd be that guy. But do you know any other ones who you'd be like, man, I can't wait to meet that guy? Maybe Dan Shulman, maybe Buck Martinez with the Blue Jays. Who I've
got that.
Oh, yeah, he's got that panache, right? He's got that senior statesman broadcaster. But to that point, I mean, those guys were so famous in this country. Absolutely. They were rock stars. So was Don. So was Ron. Back in those times, that was all you got. They were the face, the representation, the vibe, the excitement, the spirit of the game. And they did such a fucking great job. Now we're like, get Jim Houston off my TV, fucking Leaf Homer. Jack Michaels needs to fucking chill out. Get him off my TV. Hunter Ian Singh, what's up with that?
I don't know about that. I think
I'm just talking about all the complainers back then. We appreciated those guys back then.
Yeah.
Those guys today don't get the same kind of
appreciation. When I graduated from BCIT, so radio school in 94, there was 36 graduates. Pretty sure I have that number right. Mm-hmm. If I'm remembering this correctly, there was 10, maybe more guys that got into radio school to get into play-by-play for sports. Mm-hmm. Right. And such a tough path because there's so few jobs, right? So the competition is massive. So I felt bad for those guys. Cause I mean, if that's your passion, that's your dream. And that's why those guys like the Jacks of the world end up like, where'd you come from? I was calling games in Alaska for the last 5 years. Right. and they have such a passion for the sport that it doesn't even matter where they are. They're just, I every night I get to get up and I get to go call a game. Right.
Oh, they get super excited for it. Like any guy is the zenith of his career. Same thing. Like you get to the NHL. That's the NHL for broadcasters, right? Getting to the bigs, being that guy. Yeah.
We just talked a lot of sports today.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
We don't do. Yeah, you're not the big sports. You don't like to talk about sports. Yeah, we had to. Bob Cole
only appeals to fucking sports people. Only appeals to those guys. Everybody knows who.
Different conversation.
Think so?
Yeah. I don't think we're alienating anybody by having a reminisce about hockey. My wife, she gets so excited for the games. She, for her birthday, she got a Nuge jersey. She's wearing that at work today. She was so excited. She got to go to work and her first time she's ever had a jersey. The girls bought her a jersey for her birthday.
By the way, it's called the, like, where do you all gather? The Ice Palace. That's what it's all called. Like, we've got Maple Leaf Square. You've got Ice Palace.
I don't go. I watch the games at home. You know why?
Because there's a beer fridge
right next to my...
I know. You're like me. I've got no desire. I'm going to watch the game tonight. I'm excited to see what happens. No idea if William Nylander is going to play. Leafs are down 2-1. You got Boston Town.
The Leafs aren't playing tonight. They're playing tomorrow night. Are they not playing tonight? No, because Saturday they...
That's correct.
And there was... Leaf fans, I think... When I first started hearing about the three-day layover, everyone was pissed, but I think the Leafs kind of need it because they've got a couple of guys that need a bit of a break.
Banged up.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Nylander hasn't played. And Marner, just like Toronto, because Toronto sucks. Yeah, Marner had a game too, even though he's injured. A bunch of guys are injured. They tried to run it out.
That break's probably okay for them, right?
Yeah.
We got game three of the Oilers tonight. They're in Los Angeles, so it's a later start, so... I'm going to try to pace my drinking so that I'm not too drunk by the time the puck drops.
Does that happen sometimes?
Occasionally, Dean. Yes.
Like, do you have to pace yourself before a game? Like, do you have to be mindful about your drinking before a game so you can make it?
I do. Yes. Yes. So I'll control my drinking during dinner.
What do you mean control during dinner? You drink
during dinner? There might be some prep drinks.
So keep your hands prep drinks. I know what you're talking about.
He's on PLOS.
Like, we were like a glass of wine making dinner. Like, how many drinks do you have? Are you serious? You have to like literally try to not be too hammered for hockey games?
Yeah, when there's an 8 o'clock puck drop, I got to pace myself. So I... Have you just met me?
I thought it was all urban legend shit. Like, I thought you were like, I don't need to,
I don't want to black out before the game. Har, har, har. But you're like serious about it. But
by the third period, if it's 10 o'clock and I cracked my first beer at 5, I might be nodding off a little bit and the wife will be hitting me. It's not over. And then if there's overtime, then I'm in trouble.
Holy fuck, that's funny. Anyway, I'm excited to see what happens tonight.
Trump, are you watching the Trump shit?
I know it was Melania's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Melania.
From the courthouse. I'm in like, court. Happy birthday.
What does that card look like? Please don't watch the news. I love you. Want to have Italian tonight?
Babe, it's...
No, I don't know David Pecker.
David Pecker's sitting there going, today he was like, oh yeah, I totally know him. He's my mentor. I was like, you've never seen that guy. Like, yeah, he's like, I totally know. Yeah.
So here's the thing that I learned about from this, the Trump coverage.
Uh-huh. So
they got Pecker. Do you know what Catch and Kill is?
Yeah.
See, I didn't know. I had no idea this was a thing, but it's like a cottage industry in the States. And somehow, every time I hear about it, the lawyers always make a point of saying, yeah, but that's not illegal. Like, they always point out the stuff that sounds like it might be illegal. Mm-hmm. Like, taking a story, finding out about, like, Donald Trump, who at the time wasn't a politician but wants to become a politician, sleeping with Stormy Daniels. And calling them up before you put it in your newspaper and going, hey, I got this crazy story. I'll tell you what, if you send me a check for, I don't know,
$150,000.
Yeah. If you send me a check for $150,000, I'll tell you what, I won't run it. So this is how this asshole is making a lot of money. He's calling celebrities that have something to lose and mm-hmm. saying, pay me and I won't run the story.
It's
and
awesome.
Somehow that's not illegal. Somehow. And not only that, somehow they almost talk about it like it's, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. This happens all the time. It's completely normal. Like, I can't wrap my head around how that society has normalized shit like this.
Oh dude, it is catch and crazy. Kill.
And I remember hearing about it in like 2016, 2017, because like they were interviewing Karen McDougal, one of the ladies that he was, you know, who's, by the way, total smoke show, like total. Stormy Daniels,
not hot. Kara McDougal, very, very pretty. Very attractive. Very perfect.
Knocked her up and that there's a little Trumpy running around?
Yeah, maybe. It's got to be. Guys,
that was the story.
Put it in everything. He just is handing it out like lunch for the past like 60 years. Boop, boop, boop. He was taking it without even asking. Ask Eugene Carroll.
Raped her. He's convicted of raping her. So, of course. However, to your point, and I found that interesting, is that that whole industry works like this. David Pecker gets a story. He'll call the celebrity the story about, hey, I've got the story about you. What do you want me to do with it? And in that moment, the actual celebrity had a decision to make. You can run the story, fuck you, or buy the story from that person, and I'll pay you to buy that story from that person. So that story never sees the light of day. So how he did it was this. David Pecker would then approach people like Kara McDougal, Stormy Daniels, people like that, and go, okay,
like
I want the rights to your life story. And this person would go, little old me, me, my life story, little old me. Be like, yes, I find it fascinating that you had sex with that guy. I find it fascinating that Trump has a child out of wedlock and the doorman was going to sing and he had to pay the doorman like $100,000. Remember that? That was a great story.
Well, I think the doorman is the one that was saying, yeah, this woman was bringing a toddler around.
Yeah, he was. And then so Pecker would be like, hey, I want to buy the rights to your life story. That includes this story, but I want to own the rights to be able to tell your life story. And the doorman's like, ooh, little old me? Oh, yeah. I like that because everybody wants to know what the doorman at a hotel thinks. Like, it, like people are so fucking delusional. They just took $100,000, $50,000, $30,000.
It's a lot of money. And
then they sign this little piece of paper says, oh, by the way, anything in your life you cannot talk about or like talk about. So the NDAs were so thick, people lost the right to even talk about their own lives, right? Like, that's the way that that industry works, which is absolutely hilarious. So for the past like 3 days, David Pecker's been going, yeah, oh, here's a phone call I recorded with Donald Trump where we decided to pay off the porn star. Here's a conversation with Michael Cohen where we talked about buying, you know, this Playboy lady, Kara McDougal story. Yes, yes, yes. Like, they've got, like, receipts. They've got videos. They've got other celebrities going, yeah, this is exactly what we do. And to your point, no one was shocked by it in the court. They're like, oh, yeah,
no, it happens all which the time. Is bizarre. Like, that's the thing that I'm – because I never really paid attention to it the first time it was in court, right? Because the Michael Cohen stuff, I don't know why. I wasn't really that engaged for whatever reason. It's just, it's way more in your face right now. So I'm paying more attention to it. Plus, I'm really hoping someone on some network talks about the jurors in this case giggling when they say David Pecker's name like 10 times in a row. I really want to hear Pecker. David Pecker. But the thing is, the workaround on the legal side of this is because David Pecker was, and he's been given immunity. So that's why he's singing like a bird. I would
too. Like, dude, what are you going to do if you get caught doing something like this? You're David Pecker. You're running a bit of interference for the guy that won the election, got those things. It's a campaign violation. You know, you could go to jail. And they're like, jail or tell us everything you know about this guy. True to his media culture vulture fucking being, he's like, I'm gonna sing like a canary. What do you need to know, right?
Anyway, the end result, I want to play this for you. So he's on trial for the hush money trial. Like, that's what this criminal trial for, paying off a porn star, not just one porn star, but other porn stars and other Playboy people who he has admitted to having sex with.
It's about the bookkeeping, though. It's not about the hush money. That's the thing that I keep hearing. Like, you're allowed. This is the other thing. Legally, you're allowed to pay someone
to shut the fuck up.
Did you hear that senator said?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never heard a case where you pay someone to not have sex with you. Said that in front of like 900 mics outside of the other day.
So speaking of a guy in front of 900 mics. Hang on. Imagine being, just for 1 second, Melania Trump. Today is your birthday.
Okay.
It's your birthday.
By the way, she is still smoke. Pure smoke. Is she married to the devil? Yeah. Would 100% still.
She's being held against her will. Like,
yeah, you don't know that. Something different. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he likes the European.
Something's going on there. That still doesn't make any sense.
But imagine being his wife, husband's day five, day six of this criminal trial, most famous guy in the world for being like the biggest douchebag. You're hearing stories about how he's banging all these different women, paying these women off to not say anything ahead of his inaugural run as president, which he won. Campaign violations, going to go to jail. Like, he's just been through it, rape trial. And he leaves court for the hush money trial where he paid off a couple of hookers just to wish her a happy birthday. Happy birthday, baby. Huh?
Thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it. I want to start by wishing my wife, Melania, a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday, honey.
baby.
Happy birthday, thank you very much, everybody.
He forgot to buy flowers.
I want to start by wishing my wife, Melania,
worst a birthday. Happy birthday.
Wait. To be with her, but I'm at a courthouse for a rig trial. It's a rig trial. Terrible. But we're doing very well in this rig trial. Everybody knows it. Yeah.
Some people think he's going to get off, eh? Up this one, because it's all about paperwork, right? There's all these things in this case that you'd think, like I said, this catch and kill. Like every time I look into this, it's like hush money. It's like they did this. These are awful human beings. All of them should be in jail.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And the problem we have is the only thing they can make stick here is the possibility that he used campaign funds to pay her off. Right, so that's the misappropriation of campaign funds. Everything else, which is just brutal, everything else is just like morally wrong on so many fucking levels.
And they're totally good with that. Did it violate campaign finance ethics?
Yes. Did he take the money? Did he take the money that he was supposed to use to promote his campaign to pay off a prostitute? That's what we have an issue with. And it's who put what in what ledger.
Yeah. By the way, that happens here too, right? Like,
I'm sure it does, but it's just morally corrupt on so many levels.
Oh, it's totally morally corrupt. But you know, the amazing part is to the business and political elite, it's like, you know, to your point in the trial, this is how they keep talking. They're like, yeah, no big deal. That happens all the time. Next point.
It's crazy. Right?
And then the rest of us are like, wait a second, you can do that. And they're like, Yeah. We just don't like to tell the poor people what's at their disposal if they want to get out of jail free, right? We just don't tell people that this kind of shit happens all the time. But like Hockey Canada made people sign NDAs. Remember that during the whole sexual assault thing? Yeah,
it's like, you know what?
That's a Pierre Poilievre with Debbie Joe Dwan or whatever her name was, where he got rid of Patrick Brown and then paid some woman to make an allegation about sexual impropriety. Or some kind of like campaign impropriety. And then when he was asked about it, he's like, yeah, we just thought she was a good conservative. So we just helped her out with her legal bills. And you're like, oh my God. Like, this is
there's
like
a couple
all these,
of Justin Trudeau stories too.
There's a couple Justin Trudeau NDA stories floating around out there too.
Reporter in Creston, BC.
Yeah. Don't think that these stories don't actually really matter. By the way, the Creston story is not a real story. That was from the Buffalo Springfield thing in the States. So was the NDA about the kids and the pedophilia and being a teacher. That was all made up. That was all a lie. However, I'm sure there are other NDAs out there with this specific individual. And it's like, it's only the richest of the rich.
Doing a little bit of maintenance now in the press.
Oh, is she?
Her book said a couple of things that, you know, suggested that now she's doing some.
What are you talking about? Tell me, I haven't heard this.
Just that, you know, there's still a lot of love there.
What do you mean? Sophie Trudeau, Justin Trudeau's ex-wife, wrote a book. We mocked it like a couple weeks ago where she's like, he didn't take care of my needs. And I'm like, well, you can't just open that up.
Now it's damage control, I think. So
what is she saying? She's saying like she really enjoyed being married to him?
Yeah, just that there's still a lot of love there and they still got this great relationship. So, because I think now everywhere she goes, she's getting, hey! Anyone want to comment on I'm the old man.
That's a good point. You got to wonder if she had to sign or clear a whole bunch of stuff because her old husband or ex-husband was like most powerful dude in Canada. One of the most powerful guys in the world.
Well, yeah, I think legally, like when I write a book about you, I'm going to have to talk to your lawyers before I release it.
Yeah, do it. You know, the only thing you got on me is that sometimes I'll eat a whole lemon loaf after smoking an indica. That's what you got on me. Go ahead and take that to the bank. This is the thing, right? I have no problem with people telling stories about me or people either. Like, not. And you know why? Because I lay all of my shit out for everybody to see all the time.
Yeah.
Well, alcoholism, lying, truth, relationships, divorce, all that stuff.
I'm like, I'll tell anybody anything. Do you know why? Because I never, ever want to have to fucking justify an NDA or never, ever, ever want to hide from something. Because, like, dude, people that make other people sign NDAs,
they don't
do it just to make sure. They do it because they're lying their dicks off. That's why they do it. They're doing it because they know they're in trouble. That's what NDAs are. And NDAs, like, we make people sign NDAs for content stuff that we're doing. We have a couple of projects under NDA right now. And the only reason why is because they're great fucking ideas. But are we hiding something? Yeah, an idea from other people.
Yeah.
We don't want anybody else talking about it. So the very premise of NDAs and what they're supposed to be for is stuff like that. But then that transferred over into the real world where guys like Donald Trump and people are paying off.
Well, in contract negotiations or when you end up like settling too, there's always that conversation as well.
Yeah.
Quite often you can end up in a situation legally where the company that you're, you know, having a fight with doesn't want you to go on, say, like a podcast, national podcast, and give all the dirty details. So
speaking of which, Trudeau's going on podcasts now. Have you seen this?
Well, so is Biden.
Big news.
Biden's doing all the podcast tours.
Well, Biden did Howard Stern, which was weird. Biden did Stern today.
Biden did Stern. Oh, did he? I didn't know that. Yeah. I gotta listen to that. Yeah. No, dude, that's the other
very
thing.
Personal. Apparently, yeah, really. Early accounts was that it was not a typical. You know, they got into his growing up and his he's got a lot of loss. He's lost his son and a wife passed away on him.
And a daughter, I believe, too.
Did he have a car accident?
He had a child and his wife die in the same car accident. But anyway, I can't remember what my point was. Lost it.
Podcasts and people.
Oh, yeah. No, Justin Trudeau. Yeah. Justin Trudeau is doing.
He's done more than a couple.
Let me get through it. Let me just hang in there with me. Don't interrupt for like 2 seconds. So apparently the strategy for people now, keep this in mind when everybody was making fun of podcasts, including me, is for politicians to do podcasts way more so than to do television shows or interviews. They don't want to be in interviews. They want to be in podcasts with people. And I did I had a couple conversations with someone yesterday about Trudeau because he's been on 2 or 3. I didn't know Biden was doing them. And I'm like, why is he doing these? And they're like, well, you know how you can listen to your podcast and you're not like yelling at us. None of it's varnished. None of it is produced. None of it's edited. And I'm like, yeah. Conversation, right? It's just a conversation. Yeah. He goes, you can't find that in mass media, right? You just can't. And so now all of these politicians want to come into these spaces that we've created for ourselves to have these conversations away from that. And they want to bring them into this space. So my question to you would be, if Justin Trudeau agreed to be on this podcast, would you allow it?
I don't get that say. That's up to you.
Okay. Would you be able to behave yourself?
No, I would want to be able to come into it and be able to ask the questions that I want to ask.
Would you be able to behave yourself?
Which would eliminate
yourself,
me from the would process.
Would you be able to do
it?
Would you be able to keep it together?
I want to say yes, but I also want to be truthful in this moment because this sounds like I'm being tested here.
A little bit.
I hate the guy. Like, I can't stand him. And I think it would be obvious if we're in the middle of a conversation and he starts like,
You ever met the guy?
No, I haven't. The thing about Justin Trudeau is whenever I've seen him in any format, whether it's one of his fabulous town halls or I've watched a bit of one of his podcasts. I won't admit to which one, but I had more than a couple of people say, you should watch this. And I still got the sense that he wasn't being honest, that he was saying the things that he thought he needed to say. And unfortunately, that's the biggest part of the reason why I don't like the man. I don't think he's truthful. I think he's hiding. He's hiding who he really is. And I think he is very good at playing the role of what he thinks the Prime Minister of Canada needs to be. And unfortunately, that's where him and I would separate. And that's where my tension would build with him. If you put me in a room with him and said, we're going to do a podcast, lock, go, Justin, go, be real. I would be real. I would be emotional. I would get angry at him for not being, and I don't think we could get him out of his shell. And that's why I would say, no, I don't think it's a good idea that I do it. Let Charles do it. A lot
of hypotheticals there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let Charles do it.
There's a lot of hypotheticals in there where you're like, I can't do it. I wouldn't be able to talk. I hate the man. Never met the man. Never conversation with the man. Hang on, I'm getting somewhere. It's not an indictment. But no, isn't that fucking funny how we both feel the same way? Because I feel the same way about some people. But
in this case, like if Pierre Poilievre said to me, right? Because I think you don't like Justin Trudeau the way the content of that man's character, the way I don't like the content of Pierre Poilievre's character.
I don't think I could interview Pierre Poilievre either for the same reasons. I
could absolutely do it.
You could.
Because you would
want to sewer him.
No. Who, Justin Trudeau or Pierre Poilievre? Both. Here's the thing. I don't have any respect for either of those two individuals in their profession. None. Zero. However, I am deeply interested in speaking with both of those people because we don't get the authentic version of them, to your point. We get the things
that Do you think you could draw it out of them?
Well, I don't know. I
would want to be able to have that conversation with those guys to that point. Because I want to know, like, you know, fuck, you want to come on our show? You want to use us for, you know, whatever it is that you deem, you know, using these mediums necessary, whether it's authenticity, information, whatever it is, tagging into certain audiences, ravenous audiences. It doesn't matter who it is. I want to have that conversation. I want to talk to those people because I want to be able to say, okay, why does everybody hate you? Explain to me this. Explain this to me. Why did you say this about that? Do you really feel this way? Is there an NDA with your name on it? Tell me more about these things, because these are the things that they don't put themselves in. These are the events that they don't do. These are the conversations
they don't do it on purpose.
No. And they will only have those conversations.
Exactly. And so to that point, it would be a home run, not in a gotcha way, but being able to sit down and have that conversation. I think that's the difference here with, you know, us and everybody else, or people that like to say, oh, I'd interview the Prime Minister. Based on values alone, I'd interview fucking almost anybody. I'll interview anybody. Dude, I'm friends with David Parker. I've interviewed him like three times.
No, I'm saying that's nobody a ship. It's him. Worth pointing out. Like 2 years ago, you were like, I'm never talking to any of these assholes.
Well, so, but it's got to be on my terms, right? And if it's on our podcast, then it's on our terms. It's just like
you have to have the ability to have those conversations. That's why I was asking, because it's like there's so many people are angry at these two. Yeah, yeah.
Two things. One, I will admit this. I think that you would be better at, if there was a possibility, let's say the hypothetical is that we're going to sit one of those two down and there's a chance that Dean or Lachlan is going to have a conversation with them and we're going to get a real conversation. These people are going to open up. They're going to talk about themselves. They're not going to play some game or put this like facade on and present who they think everybody wants them to be. No, you're going to have a real conversation. You would be better at dragging that conversation out of either one of them than I would. I think you would have a better, easier time at it, because I would let my emotions get in the way and that would impede that process. And two, I will say this. If somebody said, okay, we're gonna do a PP podcast tour, or we're gonna do a JT podcast tour, and this podcast came up, the Dean Blundell Show with Lachlan Cross, and they phoned you and they said, okay, Justin wants to come on your podcast next week, Wednesday. And you said, okay, I'll do it, but here's my parameters. I want the real, you don't get to review any of my questions, and I want the real Justin Trudeau showing up. I want the real PP showing up. They wouldn't do it.
Never.
There would be some level of control over, they would want to control the narrative on some level, which you would never agree to. So never. It's not happening.
Never. But that is the disingenuous portion of politics where they want to borrow from our trusted status or anybody else's trusted status. And they want to be able to feed whatever messaging into their system. And 2 years ago, I said, we're never going to have politicians on this show. And I've stuck to that. We've been asked dozens of times, hey, can you interview this guy? No, interview that person. No, why not? We don't interview politicians because they just carry other people's water. Well, they're an independent thinker. No, they're not, because they want to come on and talk about some kind of party talking point. We're not interested in those things. However, if Pierre Poilievre or Justin Trudeau, anybody in that arena, for that matter, said to me, I'll give you a fucking an hour of my time. You can shoot whatever bullets at me you like. Ask me whatever questions you like, as long as it's respectful. I'll give you the answers in an unedited format. I'd do that tomorrow. But to your point, they will never do that because they can't control any of it. And that is the only thing that matters to them. That's it.
I interviewed, this was just before the election in Alberta that Kenny won when he beat Rachel Notley and took over Alberta. And then they promptly removed him and put Danielle Smith in his place. But I had him on the locker room and we got 30 minutes with him and he picked a couple of songs and it was a fun interview. And it was a radio station, right? There was no attempt on my part to gotcha. But I was frustrated because I had a handful of questions that I thought, okay, like he might dig into these. And he shut the door and moved on and had his talking points and treated us like any other interview he would have done for mainstream media. And I think that's part of the issue in the world that we live in. So if you went back and listened to that, I think it's up on YouTube on the Locker Room YouTube page. If you went back and listened to that interview, you're not getting any substance. You're not getting anything of substance from it. And that's what point. I think everybody is looking for now. And whether they're sick of politics or not, they want real stuff. They want the bickering to stop. They want the division to sort of dissipate, and they want real people and they want real people in roles of political, like in political situations too, right? Mm-hmm. They want real people on podcasts. They want real people.
Well, it's because there's no replacement for this, right? Nothing sanitized here. We're just giving the best of ourselves. We have conversations. We speak our truths. We have, you know, we do what we do, and we've curated a very big audience.
We fight with each other on and off the podcast. We disagree.
It's authentic. Sure. Yes. And that's what they're trying to take now into the political arena, right? Politicians do terrible podcasts, like fucking awful, because they're doing TV shtick all the time.
Yes.
And you tell these people, like, I've got friends that are in politics and I won't even allow them on the podcast. I've got two friends that are MPs. I've got friends that are MPPs legitimately. And they're like, hey, can we? I'm like, no, you can't. Not allowed. Why?
Because I'll just get whatever it is that you want to sanitize on the show. Yeah, but this guy could use your help. I was called last week to help sewer somebody in British Columbia in politics. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like, why not? Well, because I'm not going to have a politician on my show. Yeah, but they're going to say this and then they'll do that. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care because I know what they need and what they need is me and the you and the connection we have to our audience so they can kind of get in there and go, we're not so bad. We're pretty good people.
Just give me a little bit of hope.
Awful.
What's that? Just give me a little bit of hope that they're realizing that maybe
none of them are going on the radio.
They don't have the ability to do it.
Yeah.
That they have this authentic piece to their campaign. And maybe if they can get on there and be even a touch real, that it might have more of an impact on who votes and getting voters on their side.
Yeah, that's all they're trying to do. Yeah. 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 It is. It is a sign of the times, right? It's just like, okay, well, we got to go and do those podcasts. Well, what happens if you take bullets in that podcast? Well, then I take bullets, but I'll tell you something. You want to separate yourself from everybody else? Tell the fucking truth. Ooh, how about that?
What do you say after in church after something like that? Is that an amen or a hallelujah?
Hey, hallelujah. Yeah. Right. See, it's really hard being a politician. It's really hard doing this. Anyway, good yak. Time for the locker room retro replay of the day, brought to you by our friends at Art and Roof Systems. Ladies and gentlemen, Lachlan, what do you have? We're going back to hockey for this one. I see something about a hat trick here. Is that correct?
It's loosely tied to hockey. Very loosely. And the most popular dog breeds.
Okay.
The Lock Retro Replay.
I had a bit of a chuckle. I was reading this story. It was about people having to go back to work, and they were going to miss their COVID dogs more than their kids.
It's kind of nice, right, if you're working from home and you got your dog laying next to you all day and taking out for a walk at lunchtime, whatever.
I didn't really think about it until I saw this, but we have a COVID dog.
Yeah, and you got little Preston.
It's not Preston.
He was probably a few months old, right?
So. Kingston Clarence.
Jimmy.
Cross. Jimmy.
And with your wife going into work,
she's still working from home, but she's having to go in more. I think it's probably going to just sort of ramp up here over the next little while. Also, the most popular dog breeds came in from the American Kennel Club. Mm-hmm. And the headline was that poodles are back in the top five or
they're
something like that.
They're catching up. Yeah. Mom has poodles, doesn't she, Jimmy?
Yeah, she has standard poodles. When we were
kids, they're the big ones?
Yeah, when we were kids, she had toy poodles, so the little ones.
Does she groom them so they got like a puffy tail and everything?
Oh, yeah. She takes them in. She doesn't do it.
Did she breed them too?
No, you get other dogs.
You guys are such morons. One of them she actually bought from her breeder up here, and then there was.
I'm not going to be able to continue.
There you go. Nothing like telling the little person on your show his mom bangs dogs. I know the entire point of that whole thing. It's like. You can laugh about what you're trying to do, talking about dogs and COVID.
Stuff was a happy accident. That one we may have.
But I know you're trying to suggest his mom was a dog bleeper.
I know what you're doing. I smell you coming from a mile away. The COVID dog thing.
Yeah.
What a shame. Couldn't get a dog during COVID because everybody had the same idea.
And then as soon as COVID was done, all those COVID dog people were like, all right, my rental dog is gone. Let's take him back to the fucking kennel. Let's take him to the
SPCA. Yeah, yeah.
We love our boy. Yeah, he's awesome. Kingston's the best. Yeah. Arden Roof Systems, annual golf tournament, July 5th, the Ranch Golf and Country Club. And you're running out of time to get in on the early bird pricing. So you can sign up a single, a double, a triple, a foursome by going to the webpage, ardenroofsystems.com, and we will see you at the tournament. Dean's going to fly out for it, help me host it. We'll probably auction off a chance for you to golf with us in the next month or so. This is the last podcast before I head out to Joshua Tree, buddy.
You're going to go do yoga with a whole bunch of people in the desert. I'm really excited to see how you come back from this thing. Will you be more relaxed, less relaxed? Will you be embracing disco parties with people in their underwear after this? Are you going to be able to find alcohol in the desert at a non-alcoholic yoga retreat for 2 weeks? Who's going to fuck? Do they have a TV? Are you allowed internet devices? And there's so many questions I have about you. Like, there's no lazy boy there. Your wife's not there. No one's getting... Like, two things. You either come back a completely changed man, like legitimately, you come back a totally different person. Namaste. Oh, it's so nice. And you're fucking on fire and your contents. Or you come back in 4 days going, fuck that shit. One of those two things. There's no in between with you where you're like, it was okay. I got my teaching certificate. You're going to come back in 2 weeks and go, you know what? I'm out of the content game. Namaste, everybody. I'm going to go stretch everybody out and become Mr. Yoga. Or you come back in 4 days and go, what was I thinking?
I can do both. I can do both. I can go down there. I can come back and I can be a value to the community that I live in on here.
Finally.
And in the yoga world. Finally. By the way, if you want updates, I'm going to do, I took a look at the schedule and I'm actually going to try to follow the rules. I might sneak out and try to get booze, but I'm going to try to follow the rules and I'm going to do daily updates on my Instagram is what I've decided. But
Lock
I
cross on Instagram at Lock and Cross.
Is at Lock and Cross, LOCHLINCROSS. And I will do like a daily quick couple minute video or whatever on my stories just to give people an idea of what I'm going through. There's this group, Dean set up in WhatsApp. Like everybody that's going, there's like 14, 15 of us that are all going down. You guys met Addie the other day. Her mom runs it. She's going to be down there. So she set up this text group and everybody's been going back and forth and texting. I think I'm getting a ride from Andrew who lives in California and he's going to pick up three or four of us at the airport. But one of the guys lives there and is going to the yoga, like this YTT, the yoga teacher training. And he went out for a walk and took pictures and sent them back. And I don't know what it is about this Joshua tree and about the desert, but I have this connection to it. I was just looking at the pictures and showing my wife. Really cool. It looks like it's going to be awesome. And I have a lot of work to do in the sort of mindfulness, in the letting go side of shit.
That's nice. All that's great. Good. Awesome. Perfect. But let me ask you a question. This is really important. Has your wife asked to see pictures of all the people going on the yoga retreat yet?
No. We don't have that relationship.
Okay, I'm just asking. Because
Deb and I are very secure.
I know you're very secure and very solid. However, and my significant other and I are not obviously as long as you have been, but very, very similar. And I'm like, I wonder if, and it just crossed my mind because I was looking at pictures of the yoga retreat the other day. I'm like, because you sent some to me and I'm like, some smoke going on these trips. It's going to be interesting. If I was a significant other, that would be one of my concerns. I would be like, all right, let's see all the other dudes on this trip. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, Deb and I aren't. No. Mm-hmm. We've been together so long, dude.
Ask her. Can you ask her for me?
She's, you know what it is with Deb? She is jealous that, and not jealous. Jealous is the wrong word. She is excited for me, but she's also envious that I'm doing something that I've been talking about for years.
Mm.
That's where Deb and I are at. And that's, and with me, it came up that she was like, I'm kind of envious. And I'm like, well, why don't you do it? So you know what she did? And God love her. She has talked about this for years, about volunteering for, Habitat for Humanity. So she went out of her way and she's now volunteering for Habitat for Humanity. And that's what she's going to do on the weekends when I'm in Joshua Tree, which is, that's all. Like, and that's kind of the yin yang of our relationship, right? She's not mad that I'm going down, not jealous, but she's like, he's doing something really, really cool.
Nice.
And it's not with me. I'm going to do something for myself. And I was do it. So now she's got her thing with Habitat for Humanity. And then, you know what, in 5-10 years when she retires, maybe she'll do her lifelong dream is to go to another country and help build a home with Habitat for Humanity. She's very handy.
It's unbelievable. That's what she wants to do for herself is help other people. And what you want to do for yourself is go hide in the desert with a bunch of yogis. That's why it works.
It's a way of giving back. I want to learn to teach it. Pass on my knowledge.
You should.
So it's not as selfish as you're making it out to be.
I know. Sorry, buddy.
It's all good.
Notice the disparity of two life dreams in the same house. Your wife's like, I want to build homes for the homeless. And you're like, I want to fuck off and go to the Joshua Tree and do some yoga.
Make sure you keep giving Ardent Roof Systems and the charity golf tournament some love on the pod for me. Okay.
All right, we will. Arden Roof Systems, go there today. Appreciate it. Lock, have a great trip. See you in a couple of weeks. Lock and Cross, follow him on Twitter at Lock and Cross. Follow him on social media as well. Instagram, Lachlan Cross is where you can find him, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. And RIP, Bob Cole. That's a sad one today. Changing of the guard. It's always tough to see. Anyway. Yeah. And Bob. Enjoy your life while you have it, friends.
Have a great day. We'll be back on Monday.
Excuse me. Kind of came out wrong. As always, brought to you by Muse Massage Spa. We're also brought to you by factcheck.io. Also brought to you by our friends at CanTorque, makers of rugged, hardworking torque wrenches. Ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful day and a great weekend. We will see you on Monday. We got a big week next week. So make sure you download and sub all of our podcasts. It's kind of your homework. Download and sub Dean Blundell Show anywhere you get your podcast. Go to CryerMedia.co for more. Cryer.co for more. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.